A farmer's time is valuable. That's why Blaine's Farm and Fleet has made shopping for your must-haves quick and easy. Simply order online at farmandfleet.com and pick up your items in just 1 hour in their convenient drive-thru. Or try Farm and Fleet same-day local delivery option.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You got that right. Greetings and welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Jahnke. We're catching up with John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Had a bit of a roller coaster ride yesterday in the marketplace. We'll find out why. Stick around for John. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, on the way for weather details. And I'll tell you what, the Central Plain states had a rough night overnight, already reporting a bunch of tornadoes that touched down in Oklahoma. They have actually got threats of golf ball sized hail and winds that could be as fast as 80 miles an hour. Now, that's the central U.S., but that storm front is still coming towards Wisconsin. It means all of us are going to get wet today, from La Crosse to Madison to Milwaukee. Daytime highs today, a little cooler than they were yesterday, and the winds are going to be a little bit more noticeable. Highs today, probably around 70 degrees. On the lakeshore, a little cooler, 67, probably the expected high. For tomorrow, we'll see partly cloudy skies, basically all day long. Daytime highs, a little warmer, probably from 72 on the lakeshore to a high of 76 around Madison. Thursday, more rain in the forecast. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, on the way to break down what's happening across the United States.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you, or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
The fair season is sneaking up on us, whether you're ready for it or not. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And I truly enjoyed the fair season and getting out to see what children can accomplish or adults accomplish in those open shows. And I have Jamie Butke. She is the executive secretary for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. Now, you're just getting done with some district meetings. And how many fairs do participate in these meetings and have fairs around our state?
There are 75 stated fairs in Wisconsin, and we had 60 of our fairs represented over 4 in-person meetings and 1 Zoom meeting that we did the past several weeks. Where we actually travel the state, myself, Deb Jaguer from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. She's our fairs coordinator. Mary Check, who serves as our president from the Rock County Fair for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. And myself travel to 4 different districts every spring and every fall to talk about everything that's coming up that our fair members need to know.
And these meetings, what were some of those hot topics?
Well, what was great is Deb Jaguer was present, and she spoke about all of the different animal health updates. Of course, we are talking about the avian flu component that is out there, so she gave us an update on that. We also talk about how we need judges, so if anyone has an interest in becoming a licensed judge, that is always open until July 1st of every year, and you can always reach out to DATCAP for that information. Fairs are in the process of receiving their state aid checks, and the other part is we end up talking a lot about things that are happening legislatively. So we talked about a new bill that was just passed for us in March, where all 74 of our fairs benefited from having a new rule in place because we also received additional funding in the past budget session. And then we also spent a lot of time talking about a CARE Act and a RIDE Act that is affecting our fair industry as well that we're dealing with on a national level.
So Governor Tony Evers just signed in this Wisconsin Act 244, but it's also referred to as the Senate Act 311. So what's that all about?
Well, it was a big win for us. It took a little process for us to get this updated. But at the end of the day, all 74 of our Wisconsin fairs will receive more state aid funding for exhibits that take place at the Wisconsin fairs, and it'll begin with our 2024 fair season, which runs mid-June to mid-September.
knowing a little bit of the history of the fairs in the state, how many of our fairs do you think are going to be able to reach up to that $20,000 mark?
So I would say we have one fair that will surpass it. The Walworth County Fair has a great number of exhibits in their area, so they exceed it quite a bit. But there's probably about 15 fairs that fall in that cap, where in the past they weren't quite getting to 10. And there's a lot that fall in that $10,000 to $17,000 range. So it affects about 15 fairs that are going to receive more funding because of the cap. But because there's enough money in the way the formula is written, which is a difficult thing to follow as well, so I'm not even going to explain it, but every fair will receive more funding, which again, that's the win at the end of the day.
Along with more funding, do you think there'll be more exhibits that move from fair to fair?
I'm not certain. I think since COVID, we've still been recouping exhibitors coming back. Fairs did see a loss in some exhibitors, and that slowly has been coming back. I think our 2023 fair season got extremely close to what we were pre-COVID. So I really think that the 2024 fair season will see exhibitors hopefully getting back to what they were prior to those numbers. And I think as they exhibit, again, they just have to follow the rules and whatever the fairs have in their rule books. Exhibitors have always been able to show up multiple fairs, neighboring fairs, so they can continue to do that. This may also open up the doors for some in other areas that maybe didn't travel to other fairs that might consider doing it now. But again, it's just really, truly important that they follow what the rules are of each fair as to who they say can exhibit at their fair.
Well, we were just talking about the state legislation and helping out the fairs and the exhibitors, but there are a few legislation pieces that are coming from the national level. Can you give me a little insight on those?
You bet. So the Wisconsin Association of Fairs is a member of the International Association of Fairs and Expositions. It's called IAFE. And right now we are, along with other states, trying to, there's two pieces of legislation that are taking place. There's one called the CARE Act, and it is called Carnivals Are Real Entertainment, and it's a House bill. And then there is a RIDE Act, which is Restoring Industry Development in Entertainment, which is the Senate companion piece. And the confusion out there is it's a labor issue. It's not an immigration issue. But what we're finding is our mobile amusement companies are struggling to find workers that want to work in the industry and that they can have for a full fair season because, you know, they are seasonal. They used to be that we would try to fight for them as an H-2B worker, but there's limitations on to the amount of H-2B workers that can take place as well. But there is a P visa, and this P visa will allow mobile entertainment, which was where our carnivals fall, and they're a really vital piece of a fair. One of the things, and I hate to keep coming back to COVID, but I think one of the things we really truly learned during COVID was our fairs wanted to hold on to that education piece, right? Because that's how fairs started. This is a way to promote your educational, your livestock, what you build, whether it was a piece of woodworking that you did or the plants and the crops that you grow, right? And what we found was, as much as we all wanted to have that piece, there were other ingredients that went into having to have a fair successful. You still had to pay those bills. You had to pay for manure removal. You had to pay for the electricity and everything else that took place to have those exhibits take place. And what we found is, think about a fair not having a carnival. And we have a couple that are successful without it, but that's just traditionally how they've been. But now think about if we don't have the carnival industry that is there. That's an ingredient that is a revenue generator for fairs. It brings in a different fair participant that spends different money at the fair, but then also that money that a fair generates is able to help pay for all the educational stuff that fairs need to pay for as well. And what's astonishing is that since between 2016 and 2023, 50% of the carnival companies have dropped. Like, we've lost 50% of our carnivals nationwide between 2016 and 2023. That's a huge, huge thing. So it's a piece of legislation that would allow labor, which is what is needed for our mobile amusement industry. So that's what we are having our fairs push right now in hopes that we can get our state representatives to sign on.
Well, I always like to catch up with you Jamie Butke. She's the executive secretary for the Wisconsin Association of the Fairs. Always good to find out some of those new legislative things going on and those hot topics. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sand dunes, alpaca, and cranberry bogs. It's all on our next adventure. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod out east, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a visit to a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyard, meeting alpacas and going on a sand dunes adventure, plus a visit to a cranberry bog. Find holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for a free travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure.
They say yes to 7 straight days. A traveling dress rehearsal for you to get comfortable in the seat and feel the power behind the smartest purchase you've ever made. The 7-day, no questions asked return policy, if you need it, at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
Your parents moved to a smaller house. They're happy. But how'd you end up with their leftover furniture in your garage? And is that a box of sewing patterns from the 1970s? It's time to call Two Men and a Junk Truck, a division of Two Men and a Truck, to get it hauled away today. Get a free no-obligation estimate. We recycle and repurpose usable stuff. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomenandajunktruck.com.
Keep what you love. Ditch what you don't.
Buying a really good piece of jewelry may seem intimidating, but not after you talk with William Thomas. They take the time with you so you know your money is well spent, not overspent. Their decades of knowledge shine almost as brilliantly as the stunning stones in your custom piece. Come see the collection of gorgeous gems and choose one for your very own.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Celebrating 30 years of brilliance.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, looks like we might have rain on the way to clean those boots off. We'll be talking about that with Stu Muck in just a little bit. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. You know, it seems like a theme this morning. You just heard Jamie Butke, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Fair Association, talk about how we've lost 50% of the carnival companies in Wisconsin, or in the United States, because they can't get employees. Same story we're hearing from Terry Cosby. He's the chief at the Natural Resource Conservation Service. He said they've got 3,000 field office networks that are out there trying to help farmers and landowners do voluntary conservation practices. But just like everybody else, they are having a dilly of a time trying to find employees. In fact, Cosby says they're doing what they can with internships, even at a young age.
We have a volunteer program. I would say that if there's a high school student out there that really wants to understand us and walk into that NRCS office, and they will sign them up. You all have to be 15 years old, and you'll be able to do anything that an employee does. Maybe not be able to drive a government vehicle, but we'll put you to work. And that's a great way to get people interested. And then also, if you're in colleges, we still have a volunteer program. And then we have an internship. We take high school seniors and bring them in as interns, and we pay them. There are several ways to come work for NRCS, and we have a bunch. Please contact us and invite us and have us come out and talk to the students.
Yeah, that's Terry Cosby again. He is the national director of the Natural Resource Conservation Service. And he says, honestly, it's frustrating. Even when they get applicants, he says, sometimes they just lack the background that they really need.
Most of these college campuses have dropped classes out of their curriculum. That's important to us, and mainly soils courses. What we're finding is that when they're graduating from college, they don't qualify to come work for us, because they don't have a soils course. And it seems to me that anyone that's in agriculture, a foundational course would be soils. You have to understand that, because that is the backbone of farming and what we do. And so we're having a challenge right now on college campuses finding students that could come work for us. Now, we can hire them in other disciplines, but we need soil conservationists, and those are the folks that are out on these farms with the ranchers writing these conservation plans.
Yep, I hear you, Terry. Terry Cosby, again, he is the National Director of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and he makes a good point. A lot of campuses just phase out some of these programs like soil sciences. The other one, he says that they really struggle finding graduates from ag engineering. So the theme continues. Don't have enough people, that's for sure. Ain't got enough people looking at the weather today just yet either. Stumach Ag Meteorologist, one of the first to keep an eye on things. Oh, and by the way, before we get into the more severe stuff that could be coming to Wisconsin, got a text message last night from somebody that said the rain brought out the morel mushrooms. This person says they got 5 pounds of gray morels on the north side. Already a different spring this year, he says. So there you go. Morel mushrooms are out. They're going to get a little rain on them. Now, you told me I should tap the brakes when it comes to cautioning people about severity of this hole, huh?
Well, there's going to be some thunderstorm activity that could in some areas mean localized strong winds, maybe some localized heavy rain, maybe some hail. In terms of southern Wisconsin, though, I don't expect that we're in for a big boomer today. Maybe the most likely area that could see severe weather would be that southwest part of the state. The rain just here, just west of the Mississippi, as far as the radar is concerned. On the east side of the river, you may have sprinkles already, but the real rain is just to the west. It extends from the Twin Cities up into central Minnesota, right down through southeast Minnesota, right through eastern Iowa. It's into western Illinois already. Low pressure is moving into western parts of Iowa this morning, pulling that warm front up out of the south, the cool front in from the west, and it will march that rain right through Wisconsin. Already in the west this morning, maybe not into the south central or central part of the state until late this morning into the afternoon. Eastern Wisconsin could see something as we head toward the afternoon or a bit later in the day. Showers, possibly thunderstorms. Yes, some strong winds, maybe localized heavy rains. Overall, though, what I'm anticipating through today and tonight would be rain amounts pushing in that quarter to three-quarter inch range, a little more with a thunderstorm, especially in the south. I wouldn't expect a whole lot more than that. That's not the end of it. Although it dries out somewhat late tonight or into Wednesday, already by later day Wednesday into Wednesday night from west to east, another chance of rain, another tenth of an inch or two could be seen. I'll have those details right after this.
Optimize your farming with Madison Area Drone Service, your comprehensive drone hub for sales, repairs, and equipment. Their cutting-edge agriculture spray drones ensure precise field applications, significantly reducing waste and enhancing distribution accuracy. With advanced GPS technology, avoid obstacles like tree lines, neighboring fields, and livestock. Getting started is simple with Madison Area Drone Service. Discover more at widroneservice.com. Madison Area Drone Service, streamlining agriculture.
Sand dunes, alpaca, and cranberry bogs. It's all on our next adventure. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod out east, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a visit to a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyard, meeting alpacas and going on a sand dunes adventure, plus a visit to a cranberry bog. Find holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for a free travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure. Found out I only got 4 chairs left on that tour. 4 left, just so you know. Stumach, the radar that I'm looking at this morning is a vibrant bunch of colors. Tell me what's coming.
Yeah, a lot of color out there just west of the Mississippi this morning, but that's all going to slowly march east today. And expect cloudy skies, showers, and thunderstorms embedded in western and southwest Wisconsin pretty quickly here in the next hour or two. And that will slowly spread across the state as we head through the morning and into the afternoon. I'd expect, along with cloudy skies and that rain, upper 60s for highs. Southeast winds become southwest about 5 to 15. Still some rain chance this evening, ending first in the west, ending late in the east. Like I talked about, some near quarter to three-quarter inch amounts of rain, a possibility. Nighttime lows in the very low 50s with the southwest winds at 5. Some sunshine Wednesday. Rain develops in the west. Late afternoon pushes east in the night. Low 70s on Wednesday. Rain lingering into Thursday in the east ending. Then still some clouds around. Temps a little cooler. Upper 50s, low 60s on Thursday, Pam. Northeast winds 5 to 15. And even Friday, later in the day, maybe another round of just a little rainfall. It could take us into Saturday. But the temperatures stay a little closer to normal right into the weekend.
All right, good enough. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and do a postmortem on whatever comes our way, all right?
Sounds good. We'll catch you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing us the weather details that you really do need to know about today. Rainfall reporters, of course, I'll be leaning into you heavy. Don't forget that toll-free number, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The house seemed perfect when you first bought it, but now that you've lived there for a while, it doesn't really feel like home. The kitchen, the paint colors, even the entry lights. Maybe it's time for a living space upgrade. W.E. Davis & Sons Remodeling are third-generation family-owned remodelers. Their 50 years of experience will bring a fresh perspective to your project. They'll make sure you know it's yours now.
For stunning, transformative results, visit wedaviesremodeling.com.
Sometimes it's nice to let the kids have their own space downstairs. It's also pretty awesome to expand that basement into usable living space or entertainment area. Actuate Improvement will transform your basement into a livable area everyone can enjoy. Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
When does furniture become forever furniture? When it comes from Portage Furniture. You see, Portage Furniture prides itself on generation-lasting heirloom forever furniture, the kind of comfort and style you'll pass down someday, way in the future. So it will continue to make endearing memories.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
Have you heard about our Rejuvenation Clinic Body Suite? If not, now is the time to learn more.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Non-surgical aesthetic body treatments have progressed greatly in the last 10 years. We are proud to offer the best devices on the market that deliver incredible results. M-Sculpt Neo treats unwanted body fat and builds muscle mass. Cool Sculpting Elite reduces stubborn fat bulges and has multiple applicators to treat many areas of the body. M-Cella is a revolutionary electromagnetic chair that strengthens pelvic floor muscles to treat mild to moderate urinary incontinence. Our providers love to analyze your concerns and come up with the best treatment plan for you, oftentimes even using a combination approach so you get the best results.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn if our body suite treatments can help you, call Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie.
The Big River Rally, August 16th and 17th in La Crosse, Wisconsin at the Fest Grounds. Friday night, Buck Cherry.
Hey, y'all crazy, baby.
And Saturday night, Jackal.
I'm a lumberjack, baby.
The Big River Rally.
And I'm going to cut you down the side.
Get your tickets and find out more at BigRiverRally.com.
Cash and carry discounts and budget-friendly pricing from Wiseway makes completing your flooring project simple. Choose from luxury vinyl, tile, and selected carpet. Perfect for basements, sunrooms, garages, plus campers and trailers. I'm Jeremy Yenser of Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Economwalk. See how our cash and carry products might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
Packers, rookie minicamp underway. Matt LaFleur just heard in the sports flash there, talking about, you know, wanting to get these guys all acclimated, give them a little blueprint of what's going to happen. Then they got a week off, and it goes into phase two. You got OTAs starting, I think it's like the 20th or the 21st of May. Let's see. Yeah, the 21st, I think, is when it gets underway. But LaFleur, you know, getting these guys in the building, you know, getting a little look of them. You know, a lot of attention was on Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane. And, you know, one of the quarterbacks, Alex Magoo, he went from quarterback to wide receiver, so he's switching up his positions with Pratt coming in. But Pratt, you know, Rob Reichel was talking about Pratt, saying that, you know, this guy could have something, man. This guy could do it. Pratt was talking about, you know, it was great to turn the Tulane program around before he got drafted. Here he is.
It was something that was really special. Actually, my first year, we went 6-6. My second year, we went 2-10. My third year, we went 12-2. And this past year, we won 10 games, lost in the conference championship. But just kind of seeing what success looked like and how to get there.
Yeah, so lean on that success as you get now to the next level. He says, you know, talks about the keys to thriving under pressure from last year, you know, and then into this year, fighting for a job.
You know, I think first is knowing where the pressure is coming from. You know, as a quarterback, knowing where your hots are, you know, having answers for it. So not letting it surprise you. I think that's a big factor into being good in pressure. And then, you know, just not trying to do too much with the ball. You know, just being smart, protecting the football.
So the other quarterback there, Sean Clifford, obviously, if you remember back to last year, There was a big Sean Clifford contingency, man. There was like the Clifford camp. These people are like, if Jordan Love ain't it, why not let Sean Clifford go out there and ball out? Hell, look, did you see him in preseason? He was freaking amazing. And then when the first brunt of the year started, and maybe Jordan Love was going through a little bit of struggles, there was not a huge contingency, but a small but loud vocal Clifford camp saying this guy needs to start. I'm like, no, it's not happening. It's not happening for Sean Clifford. I mean, they put all the eggs in the Jordan Love basket. There's a reason why he waited behind Rodgers for 3 years. There's a reason why they traded up and drafted him. Like, Gutekunst is making his statement with his quarterback in Sean Clifford. But on Michael Pratt, he talked about, you know, competing with Sean Clifford for that backup job.
It's not necessarily me versus him. I think it's both of us against every other team. You know, so I think that it's going to be really important for him and I to make each other better, to elevate Jordan as well, and, you know, elevate all the rest of the people in this locker room, because the ultimate goal is to win games. And no matter what my role is, no matter what Sean's role is, I don't think that really matters as much. I think it's how that we can elevate each other and elevate the people around us.
Yeah, so, I mean, you need competition everywhere. A rising tide raises all ships, right? And apparently when he was drafted, Clifford did call him. Here's more from Pratt.
You know, kind of just told me, you know, with rookie minicamp, a lot of things are going to be spinning, going fast. But just to take a deep breath and control what I can control and continue to get better.
And speaking of quarterbacks calling, apparently Jordan Love was out there on the phone too, calling everyone, congratulating them of becoming a Green Bay Packer. And, you know, just creating a little chemistry, a little camaraderie between everyone. Here's one more clip from Pratt.
Super fired up. You know, I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, just texting congratulations and whatnot, like, that was a big thing that came up to learn from him. So definitely something I'm really excited about, you know, just in the past 2 days that I've got to have meetings with him and, you know, talk with him and understand, you know, things, you know, it's been really, really good.
And that was on Pratt talking with Sean Clifford. Linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, a lot of people really high on this guy, and rightfully so. You know, Cooper was talking about, you know, what will translate best for his game, you know, to the next level. Here's Cooper.
Speed, you know, being able to
run the ball down, make plays. I'm just ready to learn as much as I can in the shortest amount of time I can and just go from there.
Yeah, the Packers on Twitter had released a video of, I think it was Cooper, like trying to find his way around Lambeau, a little lost, a little confused, wondering, like, where the hell do I go? Do I go through this gate? Do I go through that? Well, Cooper was talking about, you know, his first time in an NFL locker room.
No, that's one. It still didn't hit me. Yeah, it's crazy. Just, you know, growing up, I knew I was going to be in a good spot, but just being at the highest level right now and at this point in my time, it's amazing.
It's got really cool. Like, just as a fan, when you walk into, you know, Lambeau Field and you're walking up to Lambeau Field, that history just hits you right in the face. You're like, damn, this is one badass stadium, man. You're right there smack in the middle of suburbia, surrounded by, you know, some old houses. You got a supper club. You just got salt of the earth, blue collar all around you. Right there is just, boom, history smacking you right in the face. Speaking of smacking people in the face, Cooper talks about his strengths coming in for the Packers.
No, that's one thing I take pride in myself.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, no kidding. You may be able to hear rumbles of thunder pretty clearly on a Tuesday. We've got rain in the forecast, basically for our entire listening area. 70, our daytime high, a little cooler along the lakeshore. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies and 76. Thursday, more showers back in the forecast. Now, don't forget, rainfall reporters, you're going to be critically important to me, especially if we see something more than just rain out of these storms that are rolling across the state. Remember our talk text line to let me know what's happening in your backyard, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Just type me a quick message. Let me know what kind of rainfall you got. Doesn't have to be anything precise. It's just a collective way for us all to talk about the weather. We'll probably be doing the same when we catch up with John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing. He's on the way. I'm Pam Yonke. Really glad you're along with us on this Tuesday. So it is the 7th day of May. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1956, the 35th million vehicle produced at the GM plant rolled off the assembly floor. 35th million vehicle. They produced a gold 1957 Bel Air Sport Coupe, or a hardtop. That was at the Janesville GM Center. You know what? I looked it up. That GM plant closed in 2009, finished demolishing it 2019. But boy, it was something on this day back in 1956. On this day, in 1895, Alexander Popov demonstrated the world's first radio receiver. He actually had built it as a lightning detector, but finally figured out how to be using it as a radio transmitter. Thank you, Mr. Alexander Popov, on this day back in 1895. On this day in 1946, Sony is founded. It started as the Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Company, and today, Sony, one of the leading manufacturers of electronics in the world. And now you know. I want you to know that the new class making up the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council has been announced. 15 soon-to-be seniors from across the state will focus in on careers related to agriculture, find out about resources available for farmers, get insight in agriculture policy development, and find new ways to network with other participants. Our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski says that he is pleased that they are into the fifth year of inviting those high school seniors to learn more about opportunities for them. I've got the whole list of all 15 up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I will tell you, these are the students from our listening area. Riley Brotley from Cambridge, Ashton Brusfin from Cambria, Jamie Dam from Columbus, Gracie Fox from Burlington, Max Lukey from Beaver Dam, Keziah Smith from Milwaukee, Michaela Stoninger from De Pere, Madison Weiss from Greenleaf, and Matthew Winch from Fenimore. Congratulations. They will begin their experience with the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council coming up this fall. That will last for a year. not only recognizing how important young people are for the future of Wisconsin agriculture and agribusiness, also recognizing the importance that women play today when it comes to production agriculture. 2026 is going to be a big year. Dave Geiger tells us more.
2026 will be the International Year of the Woman Farmer. U.S. Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Xochitl Torres-Small, along with the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, made the declaration as part of the U.N. Assembly, saying this was spearheaded by the USDA and has more than 100 co-sponsors. Torres-Small believes the worldwide observance will call attention to the role women play in global food and agricultural production.
Therefore, it is our belief that by declaring 2026 as the International Year of the Woman Farmer, the global community can raise awareness of the essential role of women in agriculture and the barriers they face and overcome to feed future generations.
Torres-Small says by adopting the resolution, the UN better acknowledges the initiatives, policies, and actions needed to address barrier issues and promote gender equality and empowerment.
This resolution highlights the critical importance of women's improved access to, ownership of, and control over resources, inputs, and services, including land, training and capacity building, credit, and technology.
Women are becoming more recognized on U.S. farms. The 1982 Census of Agriculture reported of the 2.2 million farm operators in the country, about 5% were women. 40 years later, the most recent census shows on the 1.8 million farms in the country, nearly 40% of day-to-day decision makers were women. I'm David Geiger reporting.
Thanks, Dave. And speaking of women involved in agriculture, today is the day for the Wisconsin Women in Conservation's Spring Learning Circle, starting at 11:30 this morning in Poinette at the McKinsey Nature Center. They are going to be focused in on sharing knowledge about conservation projects that are going to be going on this year. You are still welcome to join them. They will have plenty of space, I'm sure. Find out about the details or join them at the McKinsey Nature Center this morning starting at 11:30 a.m. outside of Poinette. Go to wiwic.org or check it out on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. Coming up next, find out how the markets are treating us on a Tuesday morning. And then just around the corner, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, giving us his bird's eye look at what the traders are talking about. Stand by.
The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is kicking off a podcast series that tours specialty crop destinations across the state. Over the next several months, we'll visit strawberry patches, hop gardens, sweet corn stands, and more. WADA Executive Director Sheila Everhart says Wisconsin agricultural tourism has a lot to offer.
Wisconsin truly is America's agricultural tourism destination. And agricultural tourism is a way for us to promote specialty crops. It's a way for all of us farmers to work together to bring economic prosperity to our rural communities. It's a way for farmers to have an additional revenue stream to keep that farmland in production, to keep that next generation on the farm.
Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
Well, Wisconsin farmers have used every available moment to try to get some planting done, and they've been successful, at least for right now. Across the state of Wisconsin, as of Sunday, 22% of our corn was already in the ground. That's 5 days ahead of last year, a day ahead of our five-year average. Some of that corn that was planted in southern Wisconsin already coming through the soil surface. 22% of our soybeans also in the ground. That's 8 days ahead of last year, 5 days ahead of our five-year average. As far as oats, 54% of that crop's already planted. 77% of our potatoes are in the ground. And winter wheat, looking pretty good. 86% called good to excellent. That's up 4 percentage points in just a week. Same thing as far as hay. The first crop hay, 74% called good to excellent. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are a little bit mixed in Chicago. Currently, we're looking at December new crop corn. That's unchanged at 489. November new crop beans are down 2 cents, currently at 1218. July wheat, quiet right now, but was crazy hot yesterday, 649 a bushel. Dairy markets, as far as our barrel cheese was concerned, it gained a quarter of a cent yesterday at 188 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese up a nickel at 184. AA butter stood still, 307 and a half per pound. Now, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 4 cents, currently at 1941. The July milk up 15 cents on the close at 1943 a hundredweight. So what in the world is going on with our markets? We saw a lot of movement yesterday in the trade. What inspired it all? We are going to find out about that next. Our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, coming on the phone.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. From feed to fencing supplies, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like 60-pound bags of Sacrete concrete mix, 3 for $9.99. Rewards members save $100 on a Baylin Country arch gate with the purchase of 4 corral panels. And save $150 on select 4-packs of DeWalt tool batteries, $179. We get you what you need because we get you at Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
I'm Will Sweeta. As an engineer, we look for precision, quality, technical expertise, and products that solve long-term problems. It's what we do at Sweeta Metal Roofing.
Contact us about our eco-friendly and sustainable roofing.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweeta Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweeta Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Yeah, on a Tuesday morning, as rain continues to creep towards Wisconsin, I wanted to save a little extra time to talk with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And as always, you can pick up the phone and call John, 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. So, John, let's start with the planting progress report. In Wisconsin, we were fortunate that we got quite a bit done in a fairly short period of time. 22% of our corn in the ground, 22% of our soybeans planted, both numbers ahead of our where we were a year ago and generally ahead of our five-year average. But you say that's not the case everywhere. What caught your attention in this week's planting progress update?
Well, you know, we had such a good start there, and guys are really pushing a couple weeks ago before that first rain kind of came in. And now the rains have moved through and really put the brakes on things. We only picked up about 9% on the countryside in terms of the overall corn planting pace, slowed things down pretty aggressively there. And that just sounded very common from talking to guys. Guys just are not getting in the fields in a lot of the key areas and getting things in. And now we got another line going through today of some more rain. It looks like hitting the corn, you know, coming into Wisconsin all the way through the southern part of the Corn Belt. And it's just going to keep things from turning right now. And that's becoming a concern in the marketplace. At this window, usually by the 15th of May, we want to be around that realistically about 60% planted is where we need this thing to get to. And right now we're sitting at 36% nationally. And you're looking at key states such as Illinois and Indiana, which are trailing well behind the five-year pace in terms of their planting progress. And, you know, even Iowa, with the progress it had last week and making the big jump, you know, fell behind the pace again too. So that's a concern in the marketplace. And some of the reason maybe we're seeing some money flow into the market right now is just overall planting pace and where we're at and, you know, what type of
yields that going to put us down the road? The thing is, like you kind of said, we just had a little bit of a window here in Wisconsin, and we jumped 12% and got a lot of stuff in the ground in a big hurry with the technology we have. You know, planning concerns sometimes don't really feel like they should move the market because we can get things in the ground pretty quick. So, but we got to find a dry window. And looks like maybe we got a little bit after this system that could come in the ground, but some of these guys in some of these regions are so wet that it's going to take at least a good week of drying before they can even turn a wheel.
Wow. Let's kind of keep that focus on the grain trade, because yesterday I was more than a little surprised. I keep an eye on the screen kind of through the course of the day while I'm trying to take care of other things. And when I glanced up, all of a sudden yesterday, about mid-morning, late mid-morning, the wheat went crazy. That's the one that caught my attention first, but then everything else followed. What in the world did I miss something? What drove them so hard yesterday? And then everything settled down.
This is a short covering rally. What we've got going on in all three grains right now, it really started with the wheat market a couple of weeks ago. Again, wheat catches another boost yesterday. A couple big things in the wheat market. We're really watching what's going on with Russia. Russia's the world's largest supplier of wheat in terms of the export market. They've been basically the controller of the price over the last couple of years here in terms of everything's based off what Russian wheat is doing in terms of export value. Now, they're dealing with some dryness. They're dealing with some concerns regarding their crop, as well as a possibility of some cold coming through that could do some damage as well. So the wheat market's throwing some risk premium in here on the weather front in that regard. And that's why we saw the strong move in wheat again yesterday, just continued concerns on the funds that, you know, hey, maybe we don't want to be this short here with all the little different things going on in the markets in general in terms of weather. Add into that the KC wheat belt, again, western Kansas, it continues to stay dry. We, you know, are still seeing some crop ratings, struggle there in that regard in that area. And, you know, Kansas is the world's largest producer of hard red winter, or United States' largest producer of that hard red winter wheat crop. And that's been just giving this market some boost. Now, that's spilled over into the soybean market, into the corn market. Now, soybeans got their own story. If you haven't seen the news events, the heavy flooding of Rio Grande do Sul, that's one of the largest producing provinces in terms of soybean and corn in Brazil. They rank number three in terms of production for both those two grains. They're in the middle of their harvest right now, and then they come in with massive amounts of rain and flooding and things of that nature that really has us wondering how much of that crop's actually going to get out, and that's triggered those markets as well. Throw in the continued problems with leafhoppers in Argentina and then making another cut on their corn crop. And the funds, like I said, just they're sitting there looking at these massive short positions and saying, you know, maybe we need to move the money to the sidelines, get ourselves a little bit more square, especially also we got a big USDA report coming here on Friday.
Yeah, let's talk about that report because it all goes hand in glove with the actions that we're seeing in the marketplace. Again, John Heinberg's along with us. He's with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, totalfarmmarketing.com. The 800 number is 800-334-9779. So this report Friday is a big one, huh, John?
It's got a lot of moving pieces in it. First off, obviously, we got to see what happens on the old crop side in terms of the demand, the picture. Okay, nothing else is going to change except for the demand tables in that regard. We expect soybean demand to get reduced a little bit because of the poor exports. We'll see what they do with the crush. On the corn side, do we see some export improvement? And they make add some additional bushels there. So that's kind of the biggest thing we'll be watching on the old crop. The thing that comes to light in this one is the first chance to take a look at estimates for the 2024-25 marketing year. In other words, a crop that we're planting right now and its progress for next fall. And again, with just touching base on corn, obviously we're looking at that 90 million acres, a potential trend line yield. The USDA typically goes with what they come off the outlook form at 181 bushels per acre, which, you know, may seem massively high. And they'll put the demand estimates into it for the next year, which are really just darts at a dartboard. And so we'll see how that comes together. We could see a pretty large carryout projection, which could weigh on prices, especially with this rally here. You know, same thing on the soybean side. My big question there is, what do they do with demand, especially export demand for soybeans? Because currently right now, we're about a million metric tons behind last year's pace for new crop bean sales. And we don't even have one actual tied sale to China on the books at this time frame, which is very rare in this window. So that's going to be a major goalpost that they're going to set in the ground on Friday with that USDA report, what we're going to see next year.
Wow. And is there anybody that we can fathom that could step into that gap that China has continued to create?
Unfortunately, at this time frame, probably not. And we're seeing that. And that's why we're looking at those possible soybean sale reductions in terms of exports on the old crop side of it as well for this report on Friday. That's going to be a very interesting number and in how they put that together, because right now we're just losing the battle between Argentina and Brazil and the United States in price when it comes to those exports of soybeans.
Wow. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. So the bottom line is take advantage of those rallies that we see and watch to see what happens on Friday, huh, John?
Very much so. We've had an opportunity here to get some old crop marketed, maybe get some new crop things put together. You know, producers need to be active in here, set some targets before this report. If the market does continue to rally, let the market come to you. Be comfortable with those sales. If you want to re-own them, that's what we're here for, to handle that risk in the market.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks for the heads up. Have a good Tuesday. We'll catch you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Thanks, John. John Heinberg again joining us live this morning from West Bend, TotalFarmMarketing.com. And again, as we said, that website, TotalFarmMarketing.com, where you can find him, and 800-334-9779, the number you can reach him for before that report comes on Friday. See you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.